Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Friday, Good Friday, March the 29th. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we have a reason to rejoice. One, because today didn't start without us. So many people laid down last night but didn't get up this morning. We got another reason to rejoice, and that's because God made this day and allowed us to see this day for a reason. So let us choose to rejoice and be glad in it. This has been an amazing 39 days. I've talked to many of you, and you have shared how this time of fasting and praying have shifted some things in your life spiritually. I've enjoyed spending the mornings with you all in prayer and word. I want to encourage you to keep it going, that although this is the last weekday prayer call until we kick it back up in the fall, I want to encourage you to keep going. Go ahead and get up and set aside some time to spend with God each day. All right. I want to talk this morning from the subject, an Easter faith in a Good Friday world. An Easter faith in a Good Friday world. Easter is about hope. It's a Sunday morning celebration commemorating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, in which it represents a revolution against injustice, an insurrection against racism, sexism, ethnic prejudices and discriminatory practices, sin, evil, and death. Easter reminds us that God has the last word, and we celebrate, hold in high esteem the sacrifice Jesus made and the resurrection of his body from the grave early that Sunday morning when he got up and put a comma where death had put a period. Easter is about hope and regeneration. Years ago during World War II, one of the Navy submarines got stuck in the New York Harbor. Its power was out and almost all the oxygen was gone. A special diving crew was dispatched to attempt a rescue. While divers were walking on the upper hull of the ship, the sailors could hear it. They gathered at one place and began to tap Morse code, asking this one question: is there any hope? The diver who heard that immediately replied in like manner, yes, there's hope. This is an image of how most of society is. Humanity is trapped in a dreadful place. All around us, hope is running out, and we seek a signal from beyond that could offer that hope. The world in which we live is plagued with hatred, corruption, violence, debt, famine, immorality. Those who are seeing and experiencing this are all asking one question: is there any hope? But we can rejoice this morning because when Jesus got up, hope got up too. And as long as Jesus is alive, yes, there is hope. But here's what you have to understand. With every Easter, there is a Good Friday attached to it. That is, with every victory, there is a valley you and I have to tunnel through. David said in Psalm 23, I got vision. On one hand, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he said, I got victory on the other hand. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But between the vision and the victory, you got to deal with Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In order to get to Easter, you have to endure Good Friday. Mary and Martha knows what it feels like to have to endure a Good Friday experience. Their brother Lazarus had fallen sick, and they sent word to Jesus, who was a few miles away, but Jesus wouldn't rush to the rescue of his friend. Instead, Jesus sent them a message back saying that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That is, death will not have the last word in Lazarus' situation. 4 days later, the day of the funeral, guess who showed up? While the family and friends were gathered at the home of Mary and Martha to do the repast, Jesus, their close friend, showed up and greeted. And he was greeted rather by big sister Martha with her rolling neck as she uttered these words, "If you had been here, my brother would have not died." And some of you can identify with Martha this morning, in which if Jesus had showed up when you thought he should have, your relationship would have made it. You would not have lost your house. You would not have lost your job if Jesus would have showed up. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus said, in effect, Martha, me being here or not had nothing to do with the survival of your brother, but that the glory of God might be revealed through what appears to be, get this, a dead situation. Mary and Martha was in a Good Friday tomb, incarcerated by the impossible. But Jesus, seeing the emotional change that had them bound, announced his divine proclivity to not only exercise power over life, but also power over death. I am the resurrection and the life. Can I give you one thing this morning? Resurrections work best in graveyards. That is, God loves to show up when the situation is completely dead. You can have an Easter faith this morning, because when Jesus declared that I am the resurrection and the life, death got scared to death. Because death no longer had the power to keep us down. I'll do it this way. When Jesus in the Gospel of John declared, "I am the bread of life," he was declaring whoever partakes of him will never have to worry about being spiritually hungry again. When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he was declaring that whatever question you have, he is the answer. When Jesus said, "I am the door," he was declaring, once you accept me, I will give you the freedom to enter in and out, existing in a state of peace and plenty forever. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he was saying, look, if anybody mess with you, they messing with me, because I take full responsibility for your safety and well-being. But when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus was flipping the script on them, because Jesus did not say, "I am able, Mary and Martha, to resurrect your brother Lazarus." But by combining resurrection and life, Jesus affirmed that in him was a life which by dying rises to perfection. Therefore, death was not the end, but the prelude to a resurrection in the newness of life. In other words, Jesus revealed to Mary and Martha that he is the one who gives power, get this, to stand up again, which is the meaning, by the way, of resurrection. Notice I said the word again. Resurrection means what? To stand up again. Church, there is an again after death has done its worst work. The word again means to return to a previous position or condition. Oh, you thought it was over when you lost your job, but God has an again with your name on it. You thought it was over when you separated from your partner, but God has an again with your name on it. You thought it was over when the doctor said you got cancer, but God has an again with your name on it. The business failed, but again. Listen, never put a period where God has placed a comma, because when Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life, he gave you permission to tell your problems. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in very dirt, but still like dust I rise. Regardless of the good Friday tomb you are in right now, just hold on, because Easter is coming. And when Easter gets here, it will remove the period and replace it with a comma. Church, the story doesn't end until Jesus arrived at the cemetery 4 days later. And when he got there, he told them to show me where you laid him. And when they showed him where Lazarus was, Jesus called him by his name, Lazarus, come forth. I heard my pastor say he had to call him by name, because had he said, come forth, Abraham would have gotten up. Isaac would have gotten up. Elijah and Jacob would have gotten up. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is given the power to stand up again. The one everybody had written off as completely dead is standing up again. And church, that's good news, because the same resurrection power that Jesus got up with early that Sunday morning is operating in our existential experiences today. Therefore, regardless of how dead your dreams are, Jesus can speak and your dreams will become a reality. Regardless of how dead your relationship is, Jesus can speak and bring it back to life. Regardless of how dead your finances are, Jesus can speak and cause you to live in the overflow. Some of you are experiencing a Good Friday season, but hold on, because Sunday is coming. In the tradition of the late Reverend S.M. Lockridge, 2,000 years ago, it's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. I see Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit's burdened, but you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning and evil's grinning. It's Friday, they say. The soldiers nail my Savior's hand to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross, and then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved, but they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard and a rock is rolled into place. But it's only Friday. And church, that's what I want to leave you with this morning. Three words. It's only Friday. When the bills are due and the money is low, remember, it's only Friday. When the friends are few and the enemies are numerous, remember, it's only Friday. When sickness attack your body and there seems to be no cure, remember, it's only Friday. When the business plan you work so hard crafting gets overlooked and you don't know how you are going to pour out what God put in you, chill out. And remember, it's only Friday. Sunday is coming. 2,000 years ago, can't you see? The angel of the Lord is sitting on that stone, and the guards posted at the tomb to keep the body from disappearing. Look at them shaking in their boots because it's Sunday now. And the lamb that was silent before the slaughter is now the resurrected lion from the tribe of Judah, for he is not here. The angel says, he is risen just as he said. Church, it may be dark and gloomy in your Good Friday season, but don't give up, don't give out, because Sunday is coming. So welcome. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we have is right now. If this is your first time on the call, welcome. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. We are thrilled to have you share this space with us. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and we are Grace Community Church. Remember, it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. So we join in with the chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Come on, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of this weekday devotional prayer call. Our hearts are a mix of weariness and anticipation, for we've walked together in the shadow of the cross. We've acknowledged our brokenness, our sins, and the ways we fall short of your glory. We thank you for the grace that washes over us, a grace poured out at a terrible cost. We've meditated on your son's sacrifice, a reminder that we live in a Good Friday world where suffering, injustice, and pain are ever present. Yet even in moments of despair, we thank you for the flicker of hope. Help us hold on to the promise of Easter morning, the knowledge that resurrection follows the crucifixion. Let that hope sustain us as we return to the ordinary rhythm of our days, remembering that your spirit dwells within us. As we leave this prayer time, may we be ever conscious of those around us enduring their own Good Friday. Give us hearts of compassion, hands ready to help, and a willingness to help bear their burdens. And Lord, when our heart grows heavy, remind us that Sunday is coming. May the promise of resurrection renew our strength and deepen our faith until that glorious day when all things are made new, some glad morning. When this life is over, we shall fly away. So may the promise of resurrection renew our strength and deepen our faith even the more. Now, Lord, may this season of prayer and fasting not conclude with Lent, but may it be the prelude to a life of deeper devotion and surrender to your will. May the disciplines we've practiced shape our hearts and strengthen our spirits well beyond this season. Inspire us to truly live as people of the resurrection, walking in the light, sharing your hope, and reflecting your love every single day. And Lord, be our protection today. We come against any plot, plan, scheme, or tactic of the enemy that seeks to steal our peace or derail our faith. Surround us with your presence, shield our hearts and minds, and guide our steps. Give us wisdom to discern your will and the courage to follow where you lead, no matter what we face. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, come on, church, shout amen and amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning into today's devotional prayer call. I tell you, it has been a joy to wake up in the morning and spend this time with you all in prayer and in word. This has been an amazing 39 days. Lent ends, you know, midnight on Sunday, early Sunday morning. So we got one more day to go today and tomorrow. It's been a joy. It's been a joy. So as we reflect on this Good Friday today, let us be forever mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus endured on our behalf when he hung, bled, and died on that old rugged cross. Yeah. What a sacrifice. So listen, I am praying for you today. I'm rooting for you. Be careful, be mindful, be watchful. And until this weekend, when I see y'all on Sunday morning, be encouraged. Peace.